all my Jesus-loving people. Come on, thank God for Jesus. And I want you to pray that Jesus will help me today. Here's how my day goes. I'm going to teach in this service. I'm going to run up to Palmetto. I'm going to speak in that service. I'm going to run to the airport. I'm going to fly to Peru. Tonight, I sleep in Peru. Tomorrow, I climb Mount Machu Picchu. So, now, here's why I need your prayers. And seriously, because when you're on a trip, there's just a lot of scattered things. And I want to focus in this moment on Jesus and what he wants to say to us. So our intercessors, prayer warriors, just be asking God to help us as we wrap up the series through the eyes of a lion with a very important lesson today. The series has been based on the power of perspective, asking you to stop looking at your life through your own eyes of lack, limitation, and humanity, and look at your life through the eyes of the one the Bible calls the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. What would your days look like if you saw yourself, your opportunities, the things in front of you and around you through his eyes? Because let me just remind you, lions are not timid. The only timid lion I know was in The Wizard of Oz. Lions are bold. Have you ever heard a lion roar? In the wild? I have. One day I took Mama D to Africa. We didn't know that the tour would be sleeping in a tent. We slept in a tent in Africa. That's a very thin piece of cloth between you and the wild kingdom. We heard a lion roar. He was probably 2 or 3 inches away from our tent, maybe slightly farther, but he sounded so close. And let me tell you, Mama D slept very close to me that night because lions are bold. And I would like you to have a boldness in the adventure that Jesus is calling you to. Throughout the series, we've talked about looking at storms through his eyes. We've talked about looking at our emotions through his eyes. We've talked about looking at our families through his eyes, our habits through his eyes. And today, we want to talk about looking at the opportunities of your life through his eyes. Our key scripture will be Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it has this power-packed statement that I'd like us to really look at and then look at the verses around it. But Ephesians chapter 5 says, making the most of every opportunity. Can you say that together with me? Making the most of every opportunity. What would your life look like if you made the most of every opportunity? I'm going to tell you, it would be amazing. God does not call you to a boring life. To follow Jesus with all your heart is an incredible adventure through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of a lion. And Ephesians chapter 5 just unfolds what that looks like. And the verses we're going to look at give us how we approach life looking through his eyes and what that means. The very first thing I would say, to see the opportunity and to seize the opportunities that Jesus has for you, to seize them, you have to see them. You got to see the opportunity to seize the opportunity. I promise you, Jesus is trying to show you some stuff this week that will be amazing. But you got to see it so you can seize it. The first thing to seeing the opportunities around you, verse 14 tells us this very clearly, you've got to wake up. Come on, nudge your neighbor and just tell him, wake up. Go ahead, tell him, wake up. This could be appropriate to someone right now. I've spoken in church many, many times. This could be appropriate right now. Wake up. Have you ever seen somebody sleep in church? Oh, they are funny, man. They're like those dogs in the cars with that their necks are on the springs, or like a bobblehead. They're like, they fall asleep like, If you're sitting behind them, you could lose your teeth. Very dangerous to be behind a sleeping person. But here's the message. From 14, Paul is quoting somewhere, and we know, the scholars don't exactly know where he's even quoting from. He says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Basically, all of you got up this morning physically, right? How many of you got up physically this morning? If you didn't, that could be bad. But this verse is calling us not to just get up physically, though that's important. It's saying get up spiritually. Wake up spiritually from a slumber, from the world system, from the cobwebs that confuse, from the darkness that makes things hard to understand. Wake up spiritually. And scholars don't know what Paul was really quoting here. Obviously, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit inspired it for us. Some think he could be quoting from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 60:1 when it says, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's not exactly a quote of that. Some think that maybe this wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine in you. Some think that it was a song that was sung in the early church. It was like a refrain of a song. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and open your peepers. And the light of Christ will shine on you. You not know that song? It was like in the early church and something that was a song that they sang. They said, you know, as you sing this song, this refrain. Others think it was part of an early Christian creed, what they believed and what they shared with others. And so they would share with their friends who were far away from Christ, who didn't know God yet. They would say, hey, got a message for you. Wake up. Maybe we should try that. Wake up, O sleeper. What do you mean? I'm not sleeping. Yes, you are. You are spiritually unaware of the potential of your life. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Oh, no, there's something called being born again. You need to wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And then Christ will shine on you. And I'd love you to read the entire passage, because the passage is calling us away from the world system of darkness into the light of Christ. If you read it, here's what you'll find. Here are the things we need to wake up from. We need to wake up from sexual immorality. We need to let the Lord be the Lord of our love life. Amen, Scott. Good preaching. That's so good, so good. We need to wake up from impurity. We need to wake up from greed. We need to wake up from obscenity. We need to wake up from foolish talk or coarse joking. We need to wake up from idolatry. We need to wake up from what he calls the fruitless deeds of darkness. When you're in the dark, you don't see well, right? I'm dad in my house, so I'm in charge of turning off the lights. All dads, especially the ones that pay the bills, can't understand why people leave the lights on. So this week I got up and I actually woke up. So I was sleeping and I woke up and the lights of the house were still on. And I was sort of half asleep. And I thought, oh, I got to do my, everyone else is sleeping. There's no need for the lights to be on right now. And I'm paying FPL for my burning lights. I don't like doing that. So I wake up, I start turning the lights off, going through the house. Boom, doom, doom, doom. I went back to the back hall. I turned off the last light and I did it in the wrong order because I didn't go to the back hall and start turning back to where I was. I went to the back hall and then I'm standing in the hall going, oh, I can't hardly see anything. Because when it's dark, you can hardly see anything. And here's what the verse is calling us to. There's a darkness when you are entrenched in the world system, and Christ would like you to wake up, O sleeper. He has something he wants to show you. He has something exciting for you to see, and you can't see it when you're connected to darkness. You've got to wake up and smell the opportunity. Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper. Just nudge your neighbor one more time. Help me out. Wake up. Come on, just tell him, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, 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 wake up. And once you are awakened, then start looking for opportunities. Be aware that they are there. Once you are walking with Christ, once Christ has turned on the lights, you start to see opportunities you have never seen before. Unusual things happen. This week I had unusual meetings just happen, and I was aware, oh, this is one of those opportunities that I need to make the most of. You start looking for them and you start to see them. And verse 15 and 16 talks about these opportunities. Verse 15 says, be very careful how you live. That word live in the Greek language has to do with the walk of your life. In fact, some translations translate this phrase from the Greek, walk circumspectly. It's not a word a lot of people use nowadays. But to walk carefully, to literally watch how you're living life. Because there's an opportunity that God is calling you to, and to get to your opportunity, you're going to have to move. You can't stay how you are, where you are. Sometimes it's walking across a room. Sometimes it's walking across a country. Sometimes it's walking across the city. Not walking, you can drive as well. He's just being, be careful. Be careful how you walk. Have you ever stepped in it? Because you weren't being careful how you walked. And there are people that are stepping into it spiritually and it stinks the place up. He said, well, be careful. I'm calling you somewhere. I'm so glad 20 years ago, God said, there's an opportunity that I'm calling you to in Sarasota. We didn't have all of the rationale. It didn't all make sense. We couldn't add up the columns, but we had to carefully walk towards our opportunity. We actually drove through the country to get here, but I'm glad we did. When we used to worship on Proctor Road, we felt Jesus calling us to an opportunity on half a mile of I-75, and we carefully walked towards it so that we could make the most of this opportunity. And now we're looking for Jesus-loving, Jesus-following people that will help this place seize the opportunity that God has given to us to be a gateway property. You can't get into Sarasota without coming by our front door. You can't. And our 160-foot cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. You can't. So it's a spiritual responsibility we have, and we want to, what's it say? We want to make the most of this opportunity. The days are evil. We're not gonna curse the darkness. We're gonna walk into the opportunity. We're gonna understand what God's will is. We're gonna understand our life with Jesus is an incredible opportunity. Your work, your job is not a job. It's not work. It's an opportunity. Your clock that woke you up this morning is not an alarm clock. It's an opportunity clock. Because when you hear it, you can get up and go because you didn't get up and leave through the night. Some of you will get that later on. It's an opportunity. So don't even look at your work as, oh, it's work. Work. I always have a long list. I talk about my long list of things to do. It's not work to me. I haven't worked in years. I've been involved in creation. Everything on my list is creating something. So when I look at my list, I'm not looking at, oh, it's work. I'm looking, no, what am I creating? When I send that email, what am I creating? When I do that meeting, what am I creating? I am in the business of creating God opportunities through my life. That's what my list is all about. And that's what your to-do list is about as well. It is an opportunity for God to create something through you in that moment. Thank you. It is. So how do you approach Monday? Monday. How do you approach it? Do you get up and go, me and Jesus are going to create some stuff today. It's an opportunity that you would make the most of it. You're sitting right now. You thank God you came to church today, but are you making the most of this opportunity? Because I have been in church a long time, and I know that you can waste being in church or you can make the most of being in church. Those of you who are taking notes right now, praise be to God, you are making the most. You will remember today more than the people that don't take notes. Just saying, let the Lord convict wherever he wants to on that one right there. When we will do worship, make the most of it. Don't go, oh, this isn't my favorite song. No, we are singing to Jesus. I'm not real crazy about rap, but if they rapped, I would rap for Jesus. Whatever, if it's for Jesus, I'm in. Country and Western, I could worship. Well, you know the country Western music comes right from the heart of God. You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven and there it is. Jesus with a cowboy hat on. You're going to be amazed. Listen, it's not the style, it's the opportunity to engage your heart and say, God, you have blessed me. You have given me so many blessings. You are worthy to be praised. I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to love you, God, today in worship. Make the most of it. You're already here. Make the most of this by loving the people around you. Don't sit in isolation when you come to church. Love the people around you. Make the most of this opportunity. And every opportunity you find yourself in, just say, Lord, what are you asking me to do? And if you pray that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? He is going to start answering. And he's going to start asking you to do stuff you can't do in your own strength. And then he says, I'm going to give you strength. Because to make the most of every opportunity, not only do we start looking for opportunities, next verse tells us we need to seize those opportunities, we need to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus will call you. It's an adventure. I'm just telling you, a life with Jesus is an adventure. And when Jesus asks you to do stuff, some of you are going to go, whoa, that's too much for me. And he says, yeah, it is too much. But I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit into you, and the Holy Spirit is going to give you power, and you're going to do things that you can't do yourself, because a life with Jesus is a supernatural life. I love this verse. Dude, this is just good advice. Don't get drunk. It's good advice. Write that. Take some notes on that one. How many would agree that drunkenness changes a person's conscious awareness? It's a cheap imitation to the real deal. God is calling you to change your conscious awareness through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, don't settle for the cheap imitation. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, upgrade to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek language in this verse is very clear. It means to not just a one-time experience, not one drink, many drinks of the Holy Spirit's presence. It's to keep on being filled. So every day there's going to be some opportunity, some adventure that Jesus calls you to. And to make the most of those opportunities, you need his presence and his power. And he says, I'll give it to you. And he even instructs us, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You're already in church. Why don't you make the most of this opportunity? Everyone here today, just be filled with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Just ask. Just ask. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And here's how you can tell if it's really happening. Watching this one. You will have a joy that passes human understanding. There's an evidence of the Spirit-filled life that is in these verses. Watch what it is, that you will speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs that come from the Spirit or spiritual songs. What does that verse mean? Now, you know in the middle of the Bible, there's a collection called the Psalms, 150 Psalms. And does this mean that you should, like, when you greet people and you meet them out, that you should say, hey, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. A psalm really means, the word psalm means praise. It's 150 psalms of praise. And they're very honest. In many of them, life is difficult, and that's expressed in the psalm. But even though life is difficult from time to time, the psalmist, the writer of the psalm, comes around to give praise to God. What he's saying is, there will be, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, a song in your soul that will come out of your mouth. Maybe not in a musical expression. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But a song in your soul that will come out with a praise, that the nature of your language will give glory and honor and praise to God, and it will inspire the people around you. A hymn, a song about God, a spiritual song, a song that the Holy Spirit inspires. He says, there will be a song in your soul and a spring in your step if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an evidence. So if you are claiming to be a Spirit-filled Christian, don't be grumpy. Not according to this. Look, and I'm going to show why this works in an incredibly practical way. People who have a song in their soul receive more opportunities in life. Here's how it works. Let me show you. So right now, we're in the process of looking for a team member to help in our office. We're looking right now. And I'll weave in a little advertisement right now. You can send your resume in to staff@churchofhope.com. We're looking for a team member, but I will tell you, grumpy people need not apply. So say you're hiring somebody. Say you want to have a team member. You're working on a project. You got two people sitting in front of you. One is incredibly grumpy, complaining, critical. The other is speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, and the joy of the Lord is coming out of them. And which one do you hire? Which one? I'm just telling you, when you live a life of joy, it opens up opportunities for your life. Because people want to connect with people who are joyful. So it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So wake up spiritually. Start looking around. Find opportunities. To meet those opportunities, be filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And then this last verse, always, always have this attitude of gratitude. Always, watch what it says, always give thanks. Not sometimes give thanks. Not give thanks on the weekends, but on Monday. Oh, it's Monday. No, here, look what the scripture says. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with an attitude of gratitude, watch this, will open up opportunity for you and help you to make the most of your life and the opportunities God gives. I believe this. In my heart, I believe that if you are genuinely grateful for all of the blessings, all of the favors, all of the good things that God has done, if you are genuinely grateful and express gratitude and are thankful, if you're thankful for what God has done in the past, it will open up doors in the future. Now, if you look back and find things to complain about and this and that, and you're not giving thanks, I think it will close doors in the future. So I want to look at my life and I want to be filled with gratitude all the time. I want to give thanks to the Lord all the time. How many of you, Jesus has blessed your life? Oh yeah, let's just pause. Let's just give him a praise right now. It's a little praise break. Just a little praise break in the middle of the mess. A little praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't want to just give thanks for the things that have happened in the past, like the blessing of Darla. That's a great blessing. I'm thankful for that. Blessing of my family. Blessing of serving the Lord in this place. That's a blessing I'm so thankful for. The blessing of climbing Mount Machu Picchu tomorrow. It's a blessing. I want to thank God for the things that have happened in the past, but I want to turn towards the future and start thanking him with gratitude for the opportunities that are yet to come my way. I am waiting for them. A life with Jesus is an incredible adventure. I don't even know some of the stuff Jesus is going to do yet, but I'm ready. Pour it on, God. I won't have enough strength or ability in myself, but I thank you that you'll give me the power of the Holy Spirit when I need it to do what you're calling me to. I am ready. I am on the edge of my seat, even though I'm standing. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen this week? It's an adventure. Our team, ministerial team, was away this last week in a minister's meeting. And so we met ministers and we heard. It's so good to just hear. I wish I would have one day that we just go through the audience and just, what's Jesus doing in your life? What's Jesus doing here? What's Jesus doing here? It would be amazing. I love to hear what Jesus is doing in other people's lives. And so we were hearing from some of these ministers. One of the ministers that we heard from was a guy named Joe Gordon, who got saved, was a alcoholic, really messed up. His rehab program was old women in the church praying him through. He said, I didn't know about Teen Challenge. I didn't know about Celebrate Recovery. I just had old women in the church praying me through. Then he went to Bible college, and he told us that when his roommate would go home for the weekends, he would go out into the community and find homeless people and let them sleep in his roommate's bed. Because they were homeless. And his roommate would come back and go, you had homeless people here this weekend, didn't you? Yeah, I did. He's been living an adventure for Jesus. Has spent many years just going to India and telling people in India about Jesus. He and his wife had a little baby, and the doctors gave them some challenging news. They said, your baby only has one kidney, and we would recommend you not spending the time you do in these remote areas of India, but for the care of your child, you should stay stateside. And he had to pray. And you have to pray. There's things that will come. I'm not telling you how to live the adventure. I'm just telling you this. Listen to Jesus and do the stuff he tells you to do. That's all. And he will tell you to do some stuff that doesn't make sense. If your life is totally making sense, you need more of Jesus. So Joe and his wife prayed, and they really felt that Jesus still wanted them to go to these remote places in India and tell people about Jesus. That was their prayer. They felt Jesus wanted them to go. And they were just going to trust Jesus with their baby. So they toted it around with their baby in India. The next time they were back and the baby was being checked out again, the doctor said, wow, your baby now has two kidneys. Come on, there should be like a little praise in the house. Just saying. So I'm talking about an adventure where kidneys appear. I talked to a guy last night who said, my friend, fourth stage cancer, they were preparing for her to die. The intercessors prayed. Her body is now completely cancer-free. Her doctor, who is a Muslim doctor, has put her through so many tests because he can't believe there's no cancer in her body anymore. And with tears in his eyes, he said, "Lady, the Lord has given you a miracle. It's an adventure." So I just know that there are a whole lot more adventures waiting for us this week than we could even imagine. And I would just like us to make the most of them. Open my eye. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. If last week wasn't a week of adventure, wake up. Rise from the dead. And the light of Christ will turn the lights on, and you will see things you have not seen before. And you'll experience things you haven't seen before. And maybe kidneys won't appear this week. But maybe your friend that's far away from Jesus will come into the family of God because you are bold like a lion and you tell him about Jesus. You bring him to church and there's a life change and they get baptized and they go through growth track and they become part of a small group and their life becomes part of the family of God. That miracle could take place. It's adventure. What would it be like? Wow. What would it be like if all of us made the most of every opportunity for the Lord Jesus? Wow. It'd be amazing. It would help to bring what we're praying for, a Jesus revolution. If we made the most, and when you say, "I can't, I don't have enough strength, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the boldness," he says, "Oh, that's okay. I'm going to pour the Holy Spirit into you. And he's going to give you power you can't believe. He's going to give you a joy that's going to make people jealous." I believe in people coming into the family of God by jealousy. What do you got? What are you on? It's just Jesus, man. It's Jesus. So I'm going to invite us in a moment of prayer, if you would close your eyes and open your hearts. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to lead in a prayer in just a moment that invites people to walk with Jesus, to honor Jesus, to have Jesus at the very center of their lives. It's possible you've been living your life far away from God. It's possible that you've been living your life far away from the direction and the light of Jesus. But this is your moment to come home. And as I pray this prayer, if you say, "Scott, I want to be part of that prayer. I do want to follow Jesus every day of my life. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord." Then I'm going to ask you to let me know that you're praying with faith in this moment of prayer. We're all going to pray, but I want to know it's special to you today by putting your hand up high enough for me to see it, and then lift your eyes so I can acknowledge you. You matter to God. You matter to me. You matter to this church, family. And if you want to be included in this prayer and say, "This is a moment for me. I'm praying this prayer by faith today. I'm trusting Jesus today by faith today." And you just put your hand in the air. Yeah, thanks, God. I just want to see you. God bless you. I acknowledge you. Christ sees you. Turn the light on for your life is my prayer. Wake up. Wake up. Opportunity for you. Right here. Hey, God bless. Wake up. Wake up. Rise. 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 Right here. God bless you. Glad you're here today. Rise, wake up. There's something new for you, something fresh for you. Rise up. All right. Right here, God bless you. Rise. Just pray by faith in your heart. Put your trust in Jesus. He'll change your life. Yeah, right here. He'll change your life, dear. He will. Pray with faith in just a moment. Let the lights turn on. Some of you have been so oppressed by darkness that you need to rise from the dead and let the light of Christ shine on you today. Who else? If I didn't see it, if I didn't make eye contact, just hold your hand up. Right over here. Thank you. Thanks. I want to come back. God bless you. I see you. God sees you. We acknowledge you. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to us. Christ can do something so revolutionary in your life. We can't do it, but he can. He changes lives. Wow. He makes kidneys. Heals cancer. But the greatest miracle is when he changes our lives. To the glory of God the Father, we pray. Yeah, I see you, pal. Thank you. God bless you. All right, we're going to stand together. Let's all do that. Our prayer team is going to come. And we're going to get ready to pray with people and for people. But I'm going to lead in a prayer right now that I'm going to ask for everyone to pray with me out loud. Everyone, 100% everyone. And if you pray this prayer by faith, Jesus hears it, and a miracle will take place in your life today. And so let's lift our voices out loud, praying together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my life to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins, and I receive your grace, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. Today I make a brand new start. I'm going to follow Jesus every day of my life. Thank you, God, for loving me and never giving up on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good prayer, guys. That's a good prayer. In Jesus' name, that's a good prayer. So if you're making a fresh start with God today, we want to get this booklet into your hand called Now What? The prayer team has a copy for you. Come and pray with them. You can pick them up at the Fresh Start Center out in the lobby. You can pick them up in the VIP, which is over to your left-hand side. In fact, if you've been a guest here today, please stop by the VIP. We have some gifts we'd like to give you. We'd like to just get to know you. We're real glad you came today. And we're serious about Jesus. We know Jesus has incredible things for your life. And we want to see you receive and move in those things and live in those things. And so stop by the VIP so we can get to know you. Those who are making a fresh start with Jesus, remember to get baptized. Sign up for baptism coming up in a few weeks from now. I think the 14th of June it is. Sign up for Growth Track. Don't miss June Growth Track. There's only that one opportunity. It's back to the fall, so sign up for that. But we're glad. We're glad for people that decide to follow Jesus. Bring your friends to church so that we can tell them about Jesus. Bring your friends so we can invite them to join the family of God and follow Jesus. I'm going to pray one blessing now. After this blessing, there's no other benediction. You can come for prayer. Whatever your need is, whatever the Holy Spirit is nudging you towards right now, listen to Him. Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you need more power, more spiritual juice in your life. Make the most of this opportunity. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let people pray for you. Some of you are facing things. Whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, come forward. Every need is met in the name of Jesus. While the prayer team is praying and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are flowing, the communion tables will be open, one on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side. For those who would like to come and remember Jesus in the communion, when you come to the table, you remember that Jesus died for you. He died for you. He took all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your guilt. He took it all away from you and provides you with the free gift of eternal life. We know it's a true thing that he did because he promised to do it. Then he went into the tomb and he rose from the dead on the third day so he could be in this room right now and be the best friend you've ever had. And we celebrate the presence of Christ in communion. So I bless you. In Jesus' name, I'm going to open my hands towards heaven during this prayer. If you'd like to receive this blessing, just open your hands, close your eyes. It's a good position of openness. So Lord, here are your sons and here are your daughters. Their hands are open, their hearts are open. And I just pray. I pray that you will bless them. In an incredible way, I pray you will bless them. I pray that they would wake up and see opportunities. I pray that they would live lives of incredible joy, incredible gratitude. I pray that doors that they have thought have been closed for a long time are going to start to open in Jesus' name. And Lord, the miraculous will be the order of the day. The super will come on our natural as the order of the day, Lord. I pray that you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. And in His name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's just give the Lord a praise. Amen. Good to be with you guys. Love you so much. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. God be with you. Come for prayer, for communion.